The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of the Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, and shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor he moist grapes, or dry, all the days of his separation. Shall he eat nothing that is made of the pine tree, from the kernel even to the ox? All the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head, until the day be fulfilled, in the which he separated himself from the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the ear of his head grow. All the days that he separated unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father or for his mother, for his brother or for his sister, when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. All the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. And if any man dies very suddenly by him, and he had defiled the head of his consecration, then he shall shave his head in the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it. And on the eighth day he shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons to the priest, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, and make an atonement for him, for that he sinned by the dead, and shall hallow his head that same day, and he shall consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation, and shall bring a lamb of the first year for a trespass offering, but the days that were before shall be lost, because his separation was defiled. And this is the law of the Nazarite. When the days of his separation are fulfilled, he shall they brought unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall offer his offering unto the Lord, one he learned and all that. Praise God.
Amen.
We just want to share briefly on consecration. Consecration. Now we've been hearing about the seed of Christ. And one thing that is being made clear, you know, by the scriptures, the fact that the seed of Christ is not available for everybody to take, even though it's made available for anyone who is prepared to take it. But because there are people that will take the seed of Christ, they will kill it, they will destroy it. But God is calling his people, you know, to be born again. And then it is at this point of being born again that the seed of Christ is deposited. You know, and if a man is not born again, he has not the seed of Christ.
Mm.
He has not at all. Mm. Cannot have the seed of Christ unless you are born again.
Mm.
So the first step, you know, to receiving the seed of Christ is to be born again. And we find out today that people are playing around with being born again. Well, it's easy to look at John chapter 3, where the Lord Jesus started talking about being born again. But we can look at the Old Testament and we see a typical example of how to be born again. Now, when you look at this passage that you have read, Numbers, you know, chapter 6, you find out there that this position of Nazareth, God made provision for it. And when you compare, you know, the Nazarite with the priest, you begin to see, you know, the status where God has brought a people that are born again. You just discover that you are brought, you know, to that kingdom of priesthood, where the requirement of God, in fact, is even higher than just being a priest. Because it's clear, God is saying that you have a responsibility, you know, in God, not to defile your consecration. So being born again is a consecration. And it's a consecration that you make up your mind to say, I want to be born again. See, because the Nazarites in the Old Testament, they were a people that on your own volition, you know, you make up your mind, I want to be a Nazarite. It's a vow. And you go and make this vow. The only example in which, you know, God chose a man to be a Nazarite, you know, was the case, you know, of Samson, you know, who was a Nazarite even before he was born. Now, so it was a typical example. Maybe we'll look at some aspects of Samson later on. But what you begin to see is that it's a choice we have to make to be separated unto Christ. See, if we are not separated unto Christ, we have not started. We have not started. And every responsibility is on me. Every responsibility to go on with Christ is on you. It's on us. It's a choice we have made. We have other choices. But of course, those other choices will lead us elsewhere. But if the choice you are making is the choice for life, is the choice, you know, where Christ will be the center point of our lives, then we have responsibilities. So we see in this case that he said, when either a man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarene, to separate themselves unto the Lord. So tonight we can put, be born again. You will separate yourself to vow a vow of being born again. Because it's the same thing. You are separating yourself unto the Lord. So this separation is important. And God in verse 3 said, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no finger of wine. Now, separating. Because to be separated unto God means you have to separate yourself from someone. It's a choice now. You can't say that you are separated unto God while at the same time you are separated from man. It's not possible. But what the world, you know, wants us to believe, what the devil wants us to believe is that you can separate yourself, you know, unto the world. You separate yourself unto God at the same time, which is not possible. But we must separate ourselves from the world. Because that is the choice we have to make. So separating ourselves from the world is the first step, you know, which we must do. So it's telling us about wine as strong wine. Yes, there is a physical wine which we have to separate ourselves from. But any behavior of the world that makes us not to be conscious of the God life in us is a strong wine.
Yes.
No. Because because the purpose of wine is that you drink and you are just too full and you are not conscious of the God life. You are not conscious of where God, you know, is bringing and calling us into. It's an estate that God is calling us into. And here the devil is deceiving people into believing that you don't need to be separated from the world. And not separating yourself from the world is that you cannot separate yourself unto God. You cannot separate yourself from the world. Because God will not have wisdom, you know, like we were told yesterday. So God wants us to make a choice. You want to be separated into the world, or you want to separate yourself unto the Lord. So it's a choice. So, the Nazareth is a person who chooses. He chooses to say, I want to separate myself unto the Lord. And so, he has to separate himself from the world's strong drinks. No, these drinks that have brought people into stupor, into believing that there is no God. And the Bible is clear. It said, the fool said in his heart that there is no God. It's only the fool that says there is no God. Who are the fools? It means that, see, the fool is somebody, you know, who when he sees features things, they mean nothing to him or her. Precious things. They mean nothing. So they just think that they can play around with them. It's a fool. And a greater fool is that man or woman, no, who live for now and is not conscious, you know, of why God made him or her. Now, there was this story, you know, of a king who had a jester. You know, and the jester, you know, used to be, you know, playing fool before the king to make him laugh. One day, the king called him, said, "You are the most foolish human being I've ever seen." So he gave him one of his band. He said, "Look, carry this. Walk the whole length of the world. The day you see a more foolish person than yourself, give it to me." Now, he collected this band from the king and went round and round looking for a more foolish person. He couldn't find him. One day, they looked for him to say that the king was healed and that the king should come and say farewell to the king before maybe he would die. So, Jester came back and greeted and said, "Ah, king, what is the problem?" The king said, "I'm going on a long journey." He said, "You are going on a long journey." He said, "King, are you prepared for this long journey?" He said, "No." He said, "My Lord, allow me to give you this, because you will be the most foolish human being on earth. Yes. So prepare to be going on a long journey without preparing for it." You know, so it's a terrible situation in which you are not thinking of tomorrow. You live for today. It's high foolishness. So that's why the Bible says the foolish that says in his heart, God. See, God is, God was, is, and is there forever. So the God that we are serving, you know, is the God without end. He says the Alpha and the Omega. What that means is that before the beginning, he was there. And when the end will have come, it will still be there. And so, where do we want to be? We want to believe that when you die and you enter into the pit, and then you cover the sun, then that's the end of the journey. You must be a fool. That is just the beginning of the beginning. So, it's not an end. So, when you separate yourself, it's a choice, and the wise that does that. So, the wise will say, "I want to separate myself unto the Lord." There are reasons where you do. Say in verse 4, say, "All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of vine tree, from the kernel even to the ox." See, all what God is saying is that you are pleasing him, you are not pleasing the world system. So if you are pleasing the world system, then you can say, "Oh, is it not, if they say that I should do sacrifice and you don't want to be part of it, so you send money." Yes. So you are deceiving yourself. That's what he says here. You will not eat the vine. You will not eat the fruit. Even the husk, you will not eat it. Because they are all made of the vine. So separation means that anything of the world, you are not going to have part of it. You are not going to be part of it. Complete separation. They say, and verse 5 says, "All the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the day will fulfill in which he separated himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow." Now, this is the center, you know, of Christianity, where God speaks of the law of the head. He said, "No razor shall touch the head, but you allow the head to grow." Now, not just talking about those who say, oh, you know, they are dedicating their head to one god or the other. Maybe even Rastafarian god or not. So all what you are saying is that your heir, oh, no, let us touch him. Yes, then it has a physical dimension. But much important is the spiritual dimension of the fact that no reason must touch our head. Now, what is the heir of our head? You know, the Bible talks of the fact that when he's talking about the old age, speaks of wisdom, speaks of that the white hair, you know, of the man speaks of wisdom. Now, in God, what God is saying is that the Christian experience is step upon step. So we are going to build, you know, on them. You cannot take one and throw one away. As you are taking one and throwing one away, it's just plus one minus one. It ends up being zero. Because you are not making any progress in God. And many people are not making progress in God because the word of God that is coming to them is minus one plus one. They take the one they want to take and then throw away the one you don't want. And at the end of the day, you are asking yourself, why am I not growing? How will you grow? How will you grow? So, because this growth is something that must be cumulative. Must be cumulative. Wisdom is cumulative. Knowledge is cumulative. So, the knowledge of Christ is cumulative. You cannot remove anything from him, whether good or bad. You know, like somebody said, some people, when good things are happening to them, they enjoy. They won't ask why me. But if they have any problem, why me? Because you only want the good life, but in God, the evening and the morning, they make up one day. So this is God. You know, so those experiences are needed, you know, to bring us onto himself, for us to be able to face the evil things ahead. So God is therefore making us to know that the lock of our head, you must not cut it, you must not shave it. What happens, we are going to see what makes a man, you know, that is dedicated to God, to be shaving the lock of his head or her head. And he says that it could just be that a dead man is found around him. A dead man is found around him. Or another way, somebody fell down dead around him. Now, if you look at it, you are wondering, how come that, you see, the responsibility to keep the lock of your head is given to you. That's what God is saying. God is not blaming the dead that was found around you. The question is that, why are you in the midst of the dead? And that's because the Lord Jesus is saying, let the dead bury the dead. But the problems which many Christians are having is that they don't want the dead to bury the dead. The living want to bury the dead. That is the mentality of the world. That is the living that buries the dead. But God is saying, let the dead bury the dead. Because once the living, it's not even whether you bury the dead or not, once the living is found,
in the midst of the dead,
then the living is
defiled.
It's defiled.
So what that means is that the onus is on me not to be found among the dead. See, may I say, how do I know the dead? How do I know the dead? The dead will mean either of this. Anybody who cannot respond, you know, to the life of Christ is dead. Inability to respond to the life of Christ speaks of deadness. You are dead. So, those who are not responding to the life of Christ, can I be hear me? So, the implication is that you already know. Or, not only that I cannot respond to the life of Christ, so it means that I cannot receive and cannot also give life. Anyone who cannot give life is dead. And so, you are either receiving life, inability to receive life, and inability to give life. So you are just dead, nothing. So that person is dead. So all what matters to you is the world. And that's why the Bible calls you a foolish person. No. Because you think that there is no God. So if you think that there is no God, it's a terrible situation. And so the dead, they are found around us, but it is our duty to protect ourselves from the dead. Now, with regard to the here that we are talking about of our health, because that's where the problem is. The knowledge of Christ must build up. That's why the Bible says precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. That's how we are building up in God. And in the same, in the opposite too, you'll discover that the life of the world, a little by little, is also being taken us out of us. And that's why the Lord God, when he was speaking to the Israelites, he said he will send his hornet ahead of them to pursue, you know, the enemies from the promised land he had given to them. So, and he told them that it will be done little by little. So that when God drives out a little, you are able to occupy that little. Then when you have occupied the little, God drives another one. And you keep occupying. Because what God is saying is that it's like a farmer who clears 1 acre or 10 acres of land. Then you're only able to plant crops on 1 acre. What happened to the 9? It will become bushy and nothing good. So it means that the investment on that part is wasted. And God is not a bad investor. So we have to know that God is not a bad investor. So as he invests into our lives, he wants us, you know, to occupy. Keep occupying. So that occupy till I come. So he wants us to be occupying. He will pursue the enemies from our land. But we must occupy the land over which God has pursued the enemies. And it's also important, you know, because there was this story that the Lord Jesus told about the story that is cast out. And that is cast out from a man, and he goes looking for where it will go to. Then after a while, he said, let me go back and spy out whether that place is still empty. And he comes, finds out that the place is empty. So what is he going to do? He said, he will look for more homeless spirits. And said, come, I've seen a good place. So what God is saying is that our life must not be uninhabited. It will be habitable by Christ.
Amen.
That's the Christ life. So, as we are putting on the Christ life, and Christ is helping us, you know, to bring forth the Christ life in us. So, the air will continue to grow as we walk in God. So, what are dead things? Dead things are, you can see the dead. You can see it as a life pattern. See, unless you see it as this, it's a life that is being lived, that somebody is dead. It's living a life. Somebody is living. It's also living a life. But they are not living the same life. So, the dead, we have no business with them. Yet, there are basic characteristics of the dead. The easiest one to look at is, look at Galatians 5, you know, from verse 20, 21, don't start telling us the works. Those are the works of darkness. These are the characteristics of the dead. And if you can expand, whether you are keeping malice, though, anybody who has not the life of Christ, who has not the life of Christ, is dead. That's all what we are saying. And the works, you know, of the spirit is also manifest in love, in that from 17, 18, 19, talks about the same Galatian part. So God is showing us, you know, how to please Him and live the life that is pleasing to Him. So we see that if this love of our head is not growing, then it means that we are not growing as a Christian. Now, many people are not growing as a Christian. Because that's why when they are confronted with life experiences, all what they are going to be saying is, why me? Why me? They're saying, why not you? What have you done to yourself? The love of your head that grows is what shows how old you are in the Lord. The love, how long your hair has become, is what shows how experienced you have been in the Lord. It's not a measure of 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Because many people, as they get one experience, we are here now. We are getting the word of God. It's showing, it's part of the experience that will make the love to grow. But as you turn away from here, maybe what happens 1 week from now, 2 weeks from now, don't fool, devil will come with the storm. And then the storm, what will be your reaction? You see, if you are being with Christ, your reaction will be different from those who have not been with Christ. So, if you have been with Christ, then you will now say, others can go this way, but I will not go this way. Malice matter will come. Things that will want to make you to rage will come. But how do you handle them? If you don't handle them, So when we're saying that the devil is dead, which is Jesus, so he just waiting, you know, to see what he will do. And as you do then, what he does scraping everything. You think you have acquired this one. I just cut off. Then at the end of the day, you thought when it is now time for you to be able to fly, you cannot fly in Christ. Because those things, these experiences that will make you, you know, to want to be able to move in God, be taken away. Either by anger, by worldliness, or worldly living. The pattern of life. You'll see that they have been taken away. So, the lock of the end, you have to look at it very well. You want the lock of the hair to continue to be. It's important that you must grow up. Because why I say it's important is that when you look at Ezekiel, started talking that, you know, when you just say that, and the Lord took me by the lock of my hair. God will only deal with you by the level of your dealing with God as walking through you. That's what they say. The level of God's dealing which you have taken him is what God will use in dealing with you. But when you have thrown all of them away and you expect God to talk to you, you expect God to deal with you, no. God will not deal with you. Because when God comes, all what you can see, you look at your hair, just shining. Nothing. There's nothing to hold. There's nothing to hold. And he wants to deal with you. He wants to speak with you. He wants to relate with you. He wants to take you to himself and to show you. You know, but with what is he going to carry you? Because you are a bald-headed person. A bald-headed Christian. And you know the Bible talks more about the hair of the woman. Because when we keep cutting, then we have no regard to our husband. Even spiritually, physically. That's what you are showing. You are just bald-headed. You eat your food, you eat your water, you live your life. And when you are doing like that, it just shows that you are a fool. And that's why when the devil comes, he begins to make his monkey face at you. You are afraid. Because you are bald-headed. Dare to trust God. Dare to allow the hair of your head to grow. And you will see, you know, the grace of God in your ability to deal with the devil and all the spirits around you. So the more this hair grows, the more our ability to deal with our circumstances, to deal with our environment, to deal even with the devil and his anger that we have taught yesterday. Because spiritual warfare, you know, like we thought yesterday, has to do with this spirit of darkness and darkness which they feed on. So God is there, you know, to help his people. But what God is saying is that all the days of your vow of separation to be born again, you know, that you are sure that no razor touches your head. It's your responsibility. It is my responsibility. So don't blame God. Say, God, why did you allow razor? Why did you see razor? Because we can see reason from afar. And what happened? That's why the Bible talks of a foolish man. He said, the wise man, you know, sees the picture from afar. And then escapes. He said, the foolish sees no danger, then he walks into it. That is what the Bible is saying. So, razor is my responsibility to keep away from my head. It's not God's responsibility to keep it away. God's responsibility to tell you that there is razor. And that this razor should not touch your head. That's God's responsibility. And you have been informed. So, my responsibility and your responsibility to not say razor, you are not going to come upon my head. Because I'm going to allow this my head to grow. Because when it grows, you are honoring God. You are honoring the Lord Jesus. This is your husband. Because that's what he says. So this air, this love must grow. But the difference is that when you look at the characteristics, you know, of a man or a woman that is born again, here, God is saying, there is no excuse for failure. There's no in Christianity. There is no excuse for failure. Because we want to fail and then give reasons why we fail. In God, there's no excuse for failure. That's why what that means is that I must take full responsibility for my actions, for what happened to me. I'm the one responsible. So it's not the devil. You know, yes, the devil is there. But God, as a Christian, God has given me authority to live above the world and to live above devils. So if I'm not using my God-given strength and grace, I cannot blame the devil. Because, yes, the devil is there, but God has given you power. He has given us authority to rebuke and to cut out. So, this is very important. So, all the days of the vow, no razor. All the days. So it means from day one you are born again till you enter the grave, or you breathe the last breath. No razor shall touch your head. That's so, and that responsibility is on me to keep away razor all the days of my life. That's before in other life you it's an experience, you walk into a vow, you might say for 6 months, for 1 month and all that. But now the born again experience is a lifetime vow. It's a lifetime vow. That's why people tend, you know, from 37, 38 down, start talking about a man who comes back. That my soul will have no pleasure in that man. So when you are born again, it's permanent. You must keep it. You must work at it. You must protect this seed of Christ. Because that is the seed of Christ. And being born again is when we receive the seed of Christ. So this seed of Christ, we must carry. We must guard it. We must protect it all the days of our life. So no razor will be allowed to touch it. It's now left for me to protect it, to guard it jealously, and to tell the devil, you will not, your razor will not touch the locks of my head. Because it's important. One thing that we must know you know, from the life of Samson is that the issue of razor, no razor can come upon your head unless you permit it.
That's right.
No razor can come unless you permit it. Mm-hmm. So basically, we saw the case of Samson. Samson, now that's the book of Judges. You know. So I think 17 or so. Now, where Samson went and told the Delilah the secret of his strength. We all, the secret of our strength is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
About this Christ, you can play around with it and hand it over to the enemy. You can hand it over to the enemy if it doesn't matter to you. That's why the Lord says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. But we think that we'll be friends of the world and friends of Christ. No. That was the lesson that Samson missed. He thought that he could be friends with the Philistines, which constituted the enemies of the Jews at that time. Here was a man that was raised up to deliver Israel from the Philistines. Then the man says, I will marry a Philistine woman. Okay, I must marry a Philistine woman. And you have to deliver Israel from the Philistines. So he missed it. Because it's one thing to think that, oh, by being a friend of the world, then you preach to them, you minister to them now. That's deception. And that was the deception that Samson had. And many things followed. So he lost his capacity, you know, in God. His ability in God. You sleep and the devil is pressing you, for example, and the devil says that you are weak. You can't even say Jesus. Looking what? Something is wrong. You know, because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So we must come to that place of saying there is a greater man, the greater one is in me. So he has given you authority. So it is not left for you to exercise it or not to exercise it. But when you carry your authority and you give to the devil, you give to Delilah, and Delilah gives to her people, revealing the secret, you know, of your power. Many times, our secrets are revealed by us. Things are happening, and people are saying, well, let's accommodate. Let's accommodate. When you accommodate the world, you are handing over your soul to the enemy. So, which is not supposed to be so, because this love must continue to grow and to grow and to grow. So as long as this year of something grows and it's not touched by razor, so what happened? He defeated the Philistines. Irrespective of the situation with which they come, he will defeat the Philistines. But when he handed them over, now from that day on, the first thing they did to him was to remove the ties. And that's what the devil does. When you lose the lock of your head, the devil will remove your eyes. That's removing the eye. We are not talking of this physical eye, but your ability to see. And God, please make it clear that in God, what you see is what you inherit. And that's why when God called Abraham, he said, look now, east, west, south, north. How far you can see, I've given to you. It's the same thing in God. It's what you see that you inherit, that you possess. If you are not seeing anything, and that's the problem with many Christians, they cannot see more than 6 feet around them. And that's the more they can possess. So it means that when they walk away from this their 6 feet environment, then they are terrible. They are terrible. But God is saying, look back. Look back. Don't be constrained by your environment. Don't be constrained by the experiences you are passing through now. Yes, they form a phase of your life, yes, but that should not determine who you are. That should not define who you are. Don't say because I'm passing through one day, then it means that I'm this. No. Look far. Look far. By the eye of the Spirit, what do you see? You must see the victory ahead. You must see the thousands of angels that are hand to protect you. Don't see how the enemy is making your life miserable. See how God is blessing you.
Amen.
See what plan God has for you. So the lock of your head must grow. That's what we're saying. So you cannot daily be cutting the lock of your head and you are asking, why am I not this? Why will you be? Because God is not mocked. It's what a man sows that he reaps. So you must begin to sow in the Spirit so that you can receive the strength of the Lord. So that the strength of the Lord will be made perfect. So when you verse 7, and God is saying the Nazarite shall not make himself unclean for his mother or for his father, for his brother, for his sister when they die. Now when they die, anyone who is pulling out from God says, you will not make yourself unclean for them. Because the issue now that when they die, which means that anytime they bring to you things that have not the life of Christ in me, it's not left for you to say, no, I will not be part of this. You will not make yourself unclean because they have decided to make themselves unclean by the dead. Or when they die. When they don't have the life of Christ in them. When they are speaking things that are not bringing forth the life of Christ. Then I should not walk into those things. I should not believe that those things. I should not, you know, accept them. To walk. So the onus is on me. I'm the one now to say I will not. Because it's saying when they die, when they are speaking by the spirit of the dead, I should not accept what they are saying. Because if I do, then I've made myself unclean. I've made myself unclean. And he went on, he said, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. Why do not do that? The consecration of God is on me. So you believe that, you know him, that the consecration of God is upon you. So it's not left for you to say, this consecration I'm going to keep it. You must keep it. But many a times we lose it. And so what happens is that when you lose it, like we're going to see shortly, we lose everything. And Okay, let's read it again. No, because verse 8 says, all the days of his separation is only unto the Lord. So just know that. And you are supposed to be separated all the days of your life. So all the days of your life, you know, you are holy unto the Lord. You are holy unto the Lord. Now, look at verse 9. And if any man dies very suddenly by him, and if he has defiled the head of his consecration, then he shall shave his head in the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it. And on the eighth day he shall bring... Okay, let's move. 11. And the priest shall offer one sin... 12. And shall consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation, and shall bring a lamb of the first year for a trespass offering, but the days that were before shall be lost, because his separation was defiled. Now, this is very important, and that's what can make the life of the Christian to be pathetic. You go in God's world, then after a while you crash. And look at what God is saying. He said, you lost everything you have in the time. So you will come, you have to be consecrated. And the life of God, which we are talking about, is not something that, you know, many people are not able to come back to God because of this. But they live a careless life. But you have to know that when you lose out, the days behind, they are all lost. Lost. So it means you are going to start all over again. But in starting all over again, see, three offerings. Sin offering, you know, because we are sin. So it means that you need to go to God and confess. Not something that we just pretend that nothing has happened. If you pretend that nothing has happened, you keep on thinking that you are going on with God, and God will also be looking at you as if nothing has happened. Because you are not sincere with God. So you have to be sincere with God. To say, God, see, there I am, a dead man, died, has died by my side. So, it doesn't matter now how he died or whatever, but you were found in the midst of the dead. And the problem of many people is that we are always found in the midst of the dead. Who are your friends? The dead. And at the end of the day, you want to blame God for what happened to you when you have been in the midst of the dead. And once you are in the midst of the dead, people that have not the life of Christ, they are going to be falling dead one by one around you. And when you think that you are coming out of one, the other one is down beside you. What are we talking about? If you are in the midst of sinners, your experiences will be sins. You are going to be, because when they tempt you this way, they will tempt you that way, they will tempt you this way. And before you know it, there you are following them. And what God is saying is that by your partaking of them, because when you look at Romans chapter 1, no, from I think from around 20 down, talk about that. Yes, you are not doing them, but you love those who do them. You are in the midst of those who do them. You are committed to sin. So that's why God is saying that the lock of your hair gone because of that. So it's not there for you now to always remember that the consecration of God upon your head. You must remember that, and that all the days of your life you must be holy unto the Lord. Yes. So when you have this in the back of your mind, your life experiences, where you are found, where you go, who you relate with, you know, will change. Because you know that you don't want this love of mine. I value it. Because if God will deal with you, He will deal with you by the locks of your head. So this consecration must not be defiled. Because when it is defiled, then you must shave it. So sin offering, and more importantly, you must bring peace offering. You are making peace with God. Because you agree that you are sin, and then you agree that you are offering yourself now, you know, as an offering, as a burnt offering unto the Lord. Because that is the issue there. We are burnt offering. So all what is required, every morning and evening, you put fire into this burnt offering. So that is there as a perpetual oblation unto the Lord. Our life must be perpetual oblation. So we cannot live this up and down, up and down, up and down. Up and down is very costly, brethren. Very, very costly. Because you keep losing all what you have gained in the time past, rather than being cumulative. So that's why many Christians, 10 years, nothing to show. 20 years, nothing to show. They just keep going. Just keep going. Nothing to show. But God is helping us to know that we are living the life of dedication, the life of consecration unto the Lord. Not unto ourselves, but unto the Lord. And we don't want to lose, you know, all these days of our working with God. You know, because once there is a problem, you lose everything in the time for, you start all over again. It's a very costly venture to keep starting and starting and starting. You are not making progress. Like a man building a house. You know, after DPC, you break down, then sometimes you manage to bring it to the ground floor, pull it down again. You keep starting. You keep starting. It's not the best of life. So God is helping some. So once the Lord goes, He gives room for other things. Like in the case of Samson, I was talking about, the first thing was that they removed his eyes. Secondly, they took him to the house of Dagon. Took him to the house of Dagon. Yes, you might say that what? Samson, a Nazarite in the house of Dagon. He found himself there because the love of his head were gone. And that's what happened. When we lose the love of our head, we just discover that those things we thought we can never do, we begin to do them. Begin to do them. And you are asking yourself, you may come to yourself and you are wondering, what am I doing here in this house of people, this experience, what am I doing here? Yes, it's because you have lost the locks of life. Now, apart from that, Samson, a poor man, was asked, you know, to be making sport for the people. You know, it means to be a jester, a fool for the Philistines. So, it's a fool for the Philistines. Not a fool for Christ. A fool for the Philistines. So, the Philistines. And they determine, maybe they play their music. They play their music and they have to dance to them. And then they will climb and rejoice. Now, while that was going on, they were giving glory. We are giving glory to Dagon. But we know that it was not Dagon that did it. It was because that man played around with his dedication. with a lock. And when that happens, there are other things that will follow, because to the extent that they took him to the mirror and was making come, you know, for the Philistines. Now, it's not only that he was partaking of the meal of the Philistines, but he was now making meal. It means that the life of the Philistines, their sustenance, which is by this spirit, is now being fueled, energized by his Nazarite. So he was helping them to, you know, turning their, using the God-given energy, strength, power, is now using it to be grinding at the mill of the Philistines. So he's losing everything, and God have mercy on him. You know, he had to pray, but when you look at him, he ought not to be there. And now they let me die. Because when I talked about this, just discovered that it like was a shame. Even if he has been delivered, he asked himself, will I save him? So, because when you go into the hand of the Philistines, you must come back with scars. You come back with scars. So don't think that you can go into the world and do what you like and come back free. No! You will come back with scars. And it's important. I tell my children, you can't go into the hand, to the house of the Philistines and come back with scars. You have something to show for it. And that scar is the scar of regret. Had I known, I wish I had not gone there. Yeah, if you have not gone there, it's better you don't contemplate it. Don't just think about it. It's not a good place to be.
Yes.
In the hand of the enemy. A spiritual man in the hand of the enemy. So that's why all what they couldn't do, that's when we think that the enemy is attacking his enemy. Worship, we'll be dancing as a fool. And that's what we do when we lose our concentration. Because the devil will make jest of you. Make jest of you. Because you wonder, how did you find yourself descending so low? Descending so low. Is it because of the muscle? So we are saying what the world can offer. The world cannot offer anything. The world is a mirage.
Yes.
When you look from far, it shows you it's glittering and that. Go to that thing you are seeing. When you get there, you say, but what was I looking at? Nothing. You are not seeing anything. And then you look over the hill, it's glittering in front. The best grass is always in front.
The grass is here
across the road. But why you think it is, you are losing and you are losing. Yes, sometimes it could be that the grass is greener. No, there was the story of two horses that were being trained to carry the king. One saw the kind of training was passing through, didn't like it. Wake up, jump up, everything they determine for you. So I want to be able to sleep and sleep and sleep and wake up when I like. I can go and eat wild grasses when I like. So one day, he made up his mind and ran out of the confine where they were caught and jumped out and met with the other free horses. The king said, leave him, let it be there. Why was there? This one was being threatened. So now came the day for showing forth. The day that the king rode on that, it was decorated.
Mm.
Very, very beautiful. And glorious.
Mm.
And now saw that all those training was so that you can carry the king.
Yeah.
Because the king cannot be carried any arm.
Mm.
So you now see that there is a time to carry the king, to go forward, to do that.
Mm.
And then the regret came. Because now he stayed far away, the other one that ran away, stayed far away. And look, times were full of regret.
Sure.
So maybe I would have been the one carrying the king. And seen thoroughly decorated. Brethren, you have been all these experiences.
And the grass is not dry, no more water.
Exactly, thank you. So with time now, the grass became dry out there. And whereas in the king's house, house of bread and house of grass. So, because when there's no grass, rain will fall. They will wear the grass so that the horses can keep eating fresh grass. First, the most. So, it's important, brethren, that this life of Christ must be lived to the fullness. So we cannot lose all the days behind every time and not continue to live for ourselves. And because if we do that, we will keep losing and losing. The experience is God is calling his people unto that they should grow in him so that we can come to fullness where you can nurture this Christ within and give back to this Christ. Because as known, when you look at let's look at Revelation 12. Now, there is a glory. When you bring forth the Christ within, know that will comfort. Because so that it's not as if you have been thought to bring forth the Christ within and you wonder of what benefit this has bring for this Christ. Now, verse 12, verse 5. It says, and she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,200 and praise God. See, so this woman, if I bring forth, that's what God is saying, I will have a place in God, prepared by God, where I will be fed from all the times of tribulation.
Amen.
And this is where the world is missing it. And that's where they are talking of rapture. So that, what have you worked? What have you done? Have you... See, this is something that is reserved for as many as bring forth their mantras. If you are able to bring your mantras, then you have a place prepared in God for you. So, if you have bought your own, sorry, there's no place prepared for you in God. So that's the problem, and that's why when you verse 12 says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that we have but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man child. You see, the issue which I talked to Randolph is the fact that when you bring forth the man child, there is blessings for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that God is calling his people unto at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can walk into these blessings. So that you can see, because there will be war. As soon as I bring forth this man child, there will be war in heaven. It means that the band of wickedness and the band of light, or if you like, the band of darkness and the band of light, they will have war. But we know who will win.
Amen.
Because darkness can never and will never be able to comprehend the light. So that's the experience. So that's why I say, let the heaven rejoice. Because the man-child company is caught up where? Heaven. And because the man-child, the Christ within, is caught up into heaven, that is what brings forth salvation unto mankind. My own salvation is dependent on my ability to bring forth my man-child, so that it's caught up unto God into heaven. And when it's caught up to God into heaven, automatically I'll be protected. I'll be kept from the wrath. Because I'm no longer on the earth. And of course, the man child is going to be caught up into heaven. And so, and that's the end of the warfare. Because Satan will be cast down into the earth.
Mm-hmm.
While the man child is caught up into heaven. That's why you can say, rejoice, ye heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So, there is a rejoicing coming, brother. And there is a pressing on that is required at this time. So, it might not look palatable. But press on. Because surely and surely you will be rewarded.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. When we really press on or press into being forced, I mean,